Music class is a part of most school curriculums, and it might conjure up similar memories for a lot of us, learning scales, playing the recorder, singing some classic songs in choir. Our next guest says in order to keep music education meaningful and engaging for students, it needs an update. That involves meeting kids where they're at by including more genres of music and rethinking the way they get taught. Lee Whitmore is the executive director of the Grammy Music Education Coalition. His recent piece for the Hechinger Report is called What's Missing in Music Education, Cultural and Social Relevance. Lee, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we dig into how we do music education and the changes we're looking for, let's start with the why. However we teach it, you, it sounds like, are a big fan of music education.
I am. In fact, it changed me when I was young. I had a father who worked for the Army, and we traveled. He did that for 23 years. I counted more than a dozen schools by the time, public schools, by the time I got to high school. So me, as an introverted young person, finding the music room, a music teacher when I got to a new school was super important.
And talk about it for kids in general. What's the value of getting that music education in school?
It changes everything in life for kids, for their families, for communities. And, you know, I'll reference a piece of research that I like to talk about often. I can tell you music has this incredible power to benefit young people in so many different ways. There's a researcher at Northwestern University. Her name is Nina Krauss, and she's a brain researcher, not a music researcher, but music is connected in the arts to what she looks at. And she and her team have literally proven that for young people, 5 hours or more a week of active making music, not just access, not just listening, but making and creating, 5 hours or more a week for two or more years as an adolescent permanently changes the biology of a young person's brain. And it has lasting effects. It sustains. So social and emotional outcomes, community, conversation, ability to communicate, and all kinds of other things. Not to mention it increases participation for young people, for students in school. And there's a whole host of other things that go along with that.
A lot of people have gone through a similar experience. I did it. My kids have done it. You know, some singing maybe in elementary school, some general music appreciation, then maybe band class or you split off to choir, strings if your school has that. You were a music teacher yourself, and you ran into situations where you felt like that, we'll call it traditional model of music education, was falling short for some of your students. Talk about that story.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to mention that my piece in the Hechinger Report and my position here is that all kinds of music connection and education and music making for kids, for young people is super important. The relevancy part, though, is something we really need to pay attention to. From my perspective, you know, I'm, as you mentioned at the top of the conversation, the executive director for the Grammy Music Education Coalition, and we have one goal, and that's every student in the United States, not just having access, but actively making music. And, you know, for a music teacher, I did struggle coming out of undergraduate school with my pre-service training and my license. If you don't have the tools, the equipment, the experience, so to speak, to engage kids where they're at, and remember, young people are, everybody's different, whether it's an urban center, in a rural community, in the world or the country's largest public school system in New York or the second largest in LA, kids come from different cultural backgrounds. They have different experiences. And you know what? A good teacher can bring kids in and teach them anything, but it's getting them in the door and keeping them there that's so important. So band, choir, orchestra, I play trombone in the marching band. I'm a pianist, a keyboard player, a technologist. I play Mozart. You know, I was sitting here after watching the Elton John movie the other day in my apartment playing a digital piano with some Elton tunes, which I grew up with. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's engaging, it captures kids' hearts and minds. And then a great teacher can do so much with that interest.
Talking to Lee Whitmore from the Grammy Music Education Coalition, he says we need to change our music education, broaden it out, and make it more culturally and socially relevant to kids. Lee, in your piece, you give some examples. You also sent us some videos. Can you talk about what some of the things are out there that schools are trying to meet kids where they are?
Well, could be instrumental music, could be vocal, could be technology. I'll give you, as you mentioned, a couple of examples. Two of the city markets, our inaugural markets for the Grammy Music Education Coalition, are the Metro Nashville Public Schools and the Philadelphia School District of Philadelphia. And our model, when we work with school systems, is to make sure that first and foremost, with our philanthropy and our outreach, we're getting to kids that are most in need, underserved kids in Title I schools, families that qualify for free and reduced lunch. And our work in Philly and Nashville, where we're approaching those kids, are done in different ways. Our model is to go to community school systems, listen to teachers, listen to community, learn about the culture of kids, and then figure out what the right matches are. We don't prescribe what that music teaching should be. We help fund it, and we work with the experts in the school systems. School District of Philadelphia is a really interesting one. I'll just share a generalization. It's not the case for every school system, but pretty much in the United States, we're a relatively wealthy country, and there's a lot of access for music education in public schools. You know, there's about 74 million public age school students, and more than 51 of them are school age kids, rather, and 51 million are in public schools. There's 100,000 or more music teachers that are trained in teaching in schools. What's important is connecting to things in a district that make a difference and keep kids in. There's a high participation in the requirements for this in your state and many for kids to participate in music as elementary school students. But then something happens. They get to secondary, meaning they get to middle. And it's not that often they make a choice, they have to make a choice. And then when they get to high school, they have to make a choice again. Is it music? Is it something else? In Philly, what we've done to encourage kids, students at middle and high school to stay in is we're funding a service provider program. It's really pretty amazing. The program is called DASH, Destined to Achieve Successful Heights. It's our first substantial investment in that school system in our first grant-making year. And what DASH does is it's run by a Live Nation urban executive. It's run by a national trustee of the Recording Academy, the Grammys, and others. They go in, mentor kids, and the focus is on commercial music. So what they're doing is providing skills around music, songwriting, playing instruments, recording, and guess what? They're creating a district-wide label, and the students will run it, a record label. They'll create music of whatever in any genre, but imagine mentoring with a Grammy-winning producer. His name is Ivan Barrios, who's a Recording Academy trustee, elected to another term as a national trustee, and to work with somebody from Live Nation and to learn about marketing. And it's really quite incredible. I'll actually see some of those students tomorrow. I'm making a trip to Philadelphia where we're working with Corinne Bailey-Ray, who is a Grammy winner, and she's going to spend time with about 30 students from the Philadelphia school system, some of which are in that program that I just described.
And you also mentioned Nashville. It sounds like one size doesn't fit all in this program. So what kind of unique things are happening in Nashville?
So Nashville's approach, and again, we listen to the school systems. You know, our clients in our work are the kids or students, and our partners in getting the work done to the public school systems. In Nashville, there's fantastic leadership. Dr. David Williams is the chief academic officer for the district, and Jeff Smith is the visual and performing arts director. What they've asked us to do is help to fund effective teacher development. You mentioned in my story in the Hechinger Report, I share how when I was dropped into a public school classroom as a student teacher with kids that had learning and emotional challenges, I was pretty terrified about that. In public school systems, particularly in underserved districts, there's a great amount of teacher turnover, attrition. And so what the district in Nashville, the Metro Nashville Public Schools, has asked us to do is to help fund coaches. So for the first time, there are coaches, by the way, in other subject matter areas in that school district that make a really big difference in student attendance, participation, and academic outcomes and success. For the first time, thanks to a collaboration between the Grammy Music Education Coalition and the Metro Nashville Schools, there are two, an elementary and a secondary music coach. They're experienced classroom teachers that have moved on to help coach the many, many certified music teachers in the Metro Nashville Schools. It's pretty exciting.
We're talking to Lee Whitmore, Executive Director of the Grammy Music Education Coalition, about rethinking the way we teach music in school. Scott joins us in Windsor. Scott, hi.
Hey, I'm happy to hear this program. I just wanted to relate an experience that my daughter and I, our family, experienced. She was in second grade at our local elementary school, and the PTA financed an artist in residence. And, well, it's all right, fine. The student population is 99% white, and this fellow, Leota Stanley, I highly recommend him. Firefighter by day, jazz musician by night. He came in as an artist in residence, and he worked with those kids through the spring, and then came time for the spring recital. I have never been so thrilled to see these kids in a musical performance. Every one of them had a chance to solo. They wanted that mic. They were loving every minute of it. But you flash forward 2 years, Leota Stanley is gone, and they have, and these kids are stock still. They were told not to sway, and they barely smiled through the whole thing. Somehow or another, we grind that love of music out of our kids, and we've got to stop that.
Interesting, Scott. Thank you so much for sharing that before and after. What do you think of that story, Lee?
I think it resonates with me. You know, our coalition is a group of more than 70 affiliate organizations, and many do provide artist-in-residence programs. We just talked about Nashville, the Metro Nashville Public Schools, where there's a very active structure in place. And you can imagine Nashville being the music city with so much recording. There's many artists and producers, folks from the producers and engineering wing at the Recording Academy that want to help. The itinerant nature of programs is something that's always to be focused on. And one of the things that we do as an organization is we work to help support a strategic plan with the district. So whether it's, you know, something that's happening with an artist in residence after school, before school, on the weekends, working with out-of-school time organizations that can help to make sure that there's long-term support for programs with kids. The story really resonated. You know, Scott talked about the difference it made, all the kids up on stage performing. It's amazing when you have a chance to see examples like that. And we have some up on our Instagram page, Facebook page, and on our YouTube channel as well.
Thanks, Scott, for the call. We'll go to Angie in Oconomowoc now. Angie, hi.
Hi. Sounds like you've got a great program. I didn't hear all of what Scott said. I've been teaching in Lake Mills for over 20 years, and my high school orchestra was at the point where I felt like we should concentrate on living composers for a year. So we took a year and met some different composers. We were able to Skype with someone who lives out in the Dakotas. My husband's a composer, so he came in and clinicked the group. And our ultimate project was we were able to commission a professor from Southern Illinois University, and he arranged a piece, a progressive rock song for the orchestra with specific guitar parts. The students, I think, really got a lot of talking to and Skyping with living composers and finding out, you know, what do those people do with the rest of their day, basically.
Angie, did the students approach the music differently after they actually talked to the person who wrote it?
Oh, I think so. I surveyed them just to see exactly that, and they made connections with the composers I wasn't expecting. Generational differences and all kinds of things kind of floated away. It was really cool. This year, kind of continuing that, my middle schoolers even figured it out. The emphasis on living composers was different styles of music. So this year I'm concentrating on women composers, because there was only one woman that whole year, and composers of color, composers who are maybe LGBTQ, so basically underrepresented composers. And it's going to be, I think, a harder project, because trying to find that music is a little bit of a challenge. So I'm reaching out to area colleges, and if anyone out there wants to let me know, that'd be great.
Angie, thank you so much for that call. Angie, going the extra mile. Lee, I love this idea, and this fits in some of what you guys are doing with Philadelphia and Nashville. It's not just, hey, students, here's the sheet music. You're taking people behind the scenes and how music is made, as Angie did.
And one of the things that really struck me, Rob, with Angie's comments were, you know, having that professional that professional experience and that composer with students makes such a difference. What I find in my experience, and I've been out in classrooms for a couple decades now, is young people don't understand or have that interaction. They don't know that this is a potential career path for them or a potential avocational path for them. Music is there, composing, writing, engineering, creating music for video games. It could be any number of things. Love that story.
Thank you so much
anecdote.
Thanks for sharing that, Angie. We're talking about music education and what can be done to maybe refresh it, make it more vital for kids. Lee Whitmore is with us from the Grammy Music Education Coalition. Back to your calls now. Lori is with us in Wanakee. Lori, hi.
Hi. I just want to thank you for this focus today on cultural and social relevancy in music education through this interview with Lee. I'm the executive director of the Wisconsin School Music Association and Wisconsin Music Educators Association, and this is a national issue that needs to be at the forefront of every conversation we're having about music education for our kids.
And Lori, what do you and your organization, what kind of things are you trying to embrace that idea of making music education more relevant for kids?
This is actually a huge focus of our work this year. We just received a Country Music Association Foundation grant to actually look at the diversity, equity, and access in all of our, both our programming and our workforce. So we look forward to rolling up our sleeves this year and really looking at all of what is available to kids currently in Wisconsin and what needs to be available. We find it's very much teacher-centric right now. Teachers who are doing the great work that Lee is describing are out the gate, and those things are happening in those communities. But we need to find ways to connect teaching artists and our teachers so that kids around the state can have those experiences.
Lori, thanks so much for that call. Lee, yeah, it sounds like we could rely on individual initiative from teachers, but it sounds like Lori's looking for more something more structural, something more dedicated here.
And what her organization does is critical to that, and she has peered organizations in states around the country. Lori, I welcome any outreach to you. Happy to talk with you about your work and how we can work together. And congratulations on the Country Music Association Foundation grant. Rob, one thing I want to mention connected to the last two callers, I'll give you an example. We were talking about diversity, cultural diversity, gender diversity, music education, and careers. We have an underwriter, a founder circle sponsor in our opening capital campaign for organization, Harman, Harman International, which is JBL and a bunch of other music and audio brands. Some of your listeners may have Harman sound systems in their cars. Harman is helping us with an investment, a restricted investment. We're going to be developing with supportive Recording Academy leaders, trustees, the music and the production and engineering wing at the Recording Academy to create content to encourage young women to consider the wide breadth of potential career opportunities and avocational opportunities that music and audio bring. And that'll be something that, while I mentioned anecdotes of working in Nashville and Philadelphia right now, our work will grow over time. We're just about to cross the line into our third operating year, and we often work to develop programs with partners like we could with Lori's to make sure that we're providing resources to all kids in all states.
Let's bring on Lisa now in Pittsville. Lisa, hi.
Hi there. Hi, I have been an elementary music teacher for 27 years, and I've noticed that a lot of the conversation has been centered around secondary music, and I would just like to add that in the elementary levels, developmental appropriateness is just so important. Right now, we have so much push toward testing and toward data that sometimes music class is one of the last bastions of developmental appropriateness, and I think that's very important.
Lisa, thanks. Lee, I heard you kind of nodding along there.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I'm smiling a little bit. Of course, you, the listeners, Lisa, can't see. I mentioned the challenge in American public schools where there's attrition by young people at the secondary level. We support, and our stated goals include 100% participation in elementary music. What Lisa mentioned about supporting developmental appropriateness is crucial. I happen to give a couple of examples from our inaugural school districts that have significant need in bolstering participation, and that's our goal, universal participation. Every public school student in the United States not only having access, but making and creating music. Elementary is a part of that. And for us as an organization, a stated goal and a commitment from me and our board is every elementary school student benefiting from a standards-based, amazing music education as well. And thank you, Lisa, for what you've done as an educator in your school system.
Thanks for the call, Lisa. Lee, in our last minute, it sounds like part of the goal here is also just get more creative. That music class might be what we picture in a choir or a band or orchestra class. Might be, I think I've seen examples of rock band class or mariachi programs or percussion ensembles. The sky's the limit, and schools can be innovative here.
Yeah, it can be anything. And as you mentioned, Rob, it could be choir, vocal music. It could be any traditional approach, as folks like me have been trained in when we got our music education degrees and our teaching license. But I'd encourage, you know, there's so many interesting programs with culture, genres of music, technology. And, you know, for us, and I say this often, the Grammy Music Education Coalition is agnostic to genre and to technique as long as it's great standards-connected music education, and that we use those tools, whether it's mariachi, songwriting, vocal music, whatever it is, to draw kids in and keep them in programs. That's the goal.
Lee, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Rob. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Lee Whitmore is Executive Director of the Grammy Music Education Coalition. He was with us to talk about the ways he thinks music classes could be more culturally and socially relevant for students.